Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back with you and studying God's Word.
Amen. Always good to be here on Sunday night and talking about the Word and trying to connect all these things that we have here that the Holy Spirit wrote down through these human authors and that He wants us to know
and learn.
It's really pretty exciting.
It is.
And here we are, you know, in 2014, reading things that were written 2,000 years ago, minimum, and still learning from it and still making it known.
The mission does not end.
That's right. And that's pretty awesome when you think about it.
It is.
So, you know, there were people doing Bible studies on the radio back in the early centuries. Oh, no, wait a minute. They weren't doing it on the radio. They were doing it in person.
Did they have? No.
And here we are, all these centuries later, actually still doing the same thing in the same way, except now we can kind of amplify it through the world, really. Because, of course, we have many millions of worldwide listeners.
Exactly.
And, well.
This is like an electronic amphitheater.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
Boy, Paul would have loved to have this.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He was happy if he could talk to 100 people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, so here we are. So today we're going to have an interesting talk.
What are we going to talk about?
I don't know. I forgot.
No. Oh, geez.
I'm going to talk about the woman at the well.
Oh.
I feel like I know the woman at the well. This is in John chapter 4. So we'll give you a second to get to John chapter 4. Then we're going to have Stephen read the account. Then we'll talk a little bit about it because there's so many lessons in this passage. There's so many lessons.
Yes, there are.
And it's just so neat, all the references to water throughout the scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, and, you know, and Jesus talks about it in many different places. And, you know, to encounter this woman at the side of a well and start to talk about water, a really interesting development takes place where first they're talking about physical water, then they're talking about spiritual water, and then next thing you know, the woman who a couple hours before was just kind of trudging along, getting water and trying to avoid the other people in the town, and she becomes an evangelist.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, when you encounter Jesus, your life changes, and you want to tell people about him.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. If you say, well, yeah, I encountered Jesus, and it was okay, but, you know, you know, no. You didn't encounter him. Or if you say, I encountered him, but I think I'm just going to keep it to myself because it's a private matter, then I don't think you really encountered him.
No, because if you really encounter the Lord, your life is dramatically changed.
I mean, you run up to total strangers in the grocery store and say, can I tell you about Jesus? And they look at you like you're some kind of a nut job. But that's okay.
Well, there's this element of water that we're going to talk about is, if you think about it, life can't exist without water.
That's right.
It can't exist without air or water.
And these people lived in a desert climate. I mean, water was really important.
Really important. Very important. And even though we don't live in a desert climate, we can't survive very long without water.
That's right.
You know, so it's an essential element of life, and how it is an essential element of the spiritual life is, you know, the correlation is just amazing.
I mean, here we are. We live on the Great Lakes. Well, Steele is in Youngstown. But
close enough.
Here we are. We live on the Great Lakes. We've got rivers and creeks everywhere. You know, we got water. I mean, you go down and look at Lake Erie and you say, well, what's the big deal about water? A lot of water. You can even when you're home, you turn on your faucet, water comes out. You can go to the store and buy bottled water. Exactly. You can open up the refrigerator, take out a bottle of water.
Yeah.
But in a desert climate, it wasn't that easy.
No.
And this story takes place at a very famous well. a very famous well.
Well?
Well, which is which is actually still there.
Still there.
I haven't been to it. I was a little nervous about driving my rental car there, but if I go back soon, I'm going to go find this place because I really want to see it. But anyway, Steve, why don't you start reading?
Okay. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 5. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews had nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty, or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Mm, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good
And that's only the first part of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is an interesting encounter.
It gets better after that.
Yeah, it does get better. Jesus had been in Jerusalem, and the Pharisees were upset that he was getting more disciples than John. So there was some, you know, persecution breaking out, but his hour hadn't come yet. This wasn't time for his death. So he left, and it says that he had to go through Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Samaritans were basically half-breeds. They were a mixture of Jews and Assyrians and some other people.
Right.
And the Jews couldn't stand them because they had the books of the Torah, which are the first five books, the books of Moses, but they didn't recognize any of the other books. All they had was the Torah. And they traced their lineage back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of course, as she mentions here about her father Jacob.
Right.
And they worshipped at Mount Gerizim instead of in Jerusalem. Now, Mount Gerizim we'll talk a little bit about later, but the Jews were so mad about the Samaritans that they would walk around Samaria. They would rather walk in the pagan Gentile territory than walk through this area of half-breeds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how deep the division was.
Mm-hmm.
It was disgusting. And it says Jesus had to go through Samaria. Well, he didn't have to, but he went essentially to encounter this woman.
Right.
This whole thing. And this is not a parable. This is an account of something that actually happened.
Right, right.
And
yeah, it's important to point that out. That is,
yeah,
this
exactly.
is an actual encounter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So instead of walking around Samaria through the other Gentile land, the Samaritans were kind of half Gentile, half Jew, so nobody knows what to call them. So he walked through Samaria, and, you know, keep in mind, he didn't do any other ministry there. This is the only account of Jesus being in Samaria. He told the disciples in Matthew chapter 10 not to go to Samaria. Don't do any ministry in Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
So this was, like, amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want you guys going there, but today we're going to walk through there. And he goes to Sychar. Now, Sychar is the same place as Shechem. Now, study the Old Testament, which I'm sure all of you do, and you get into the book of Joshua, you'll see Shechem there because when the people came into the land, Joshua gathered all the people in Shechem, and they renewed the covenant. So Shechem was an important place.
Right.
The ark was there for a while. Later, after the kingdom divided after Solomon, it was going to be the capital of the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel.
Okay.
And as she pointed out, this was given to Joseph by Jacob in Genesis 48. And Joseph's bones are actually buried there in Samaria. Actually, it's in the land of Ephraim, because if you remember, those of you who took my Torah class will remember that Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, And his, the tribe, there is no tribe of Joseph. There's a tribe of Ephraim and a tribe of Manasseh, which were both from Joseph. But anyway, this is where Shechem is. Mm-hmm. And this was a well that was actually dug by Jacob for his livestock.
Jacob himself.
Jacob himself.
Who wrestled with God and became, and God named Israel.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And, you know, it's interesting because this woman who comes there to draw water at noon.
Yes.
It's interesting that the writer tells us it was about noon.
Yes. The heat of the day.
The heat of the day. Most, everybody else would come and draw water in the morning, mm-hmm. in the coolness of the morning, mm-hmm. before the sun started, you know, mm-hmm. the intensity of the heat from the sun made the temperature rise. So she's there at noon, mm-hmm. where she doesn't expect to encounter anybody.
Right.
Doesn't expect to see anybody. And she's quick to point out to Jesus, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?
Yeah. This was unbelievable.
Yeah. And she's quick to point that out. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And through her conversation, there's, as we get to it, you'll see that she, almost as if she's trying to get into this confrontation with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
you know, she's standing, there's a standoff almost.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus is talking to her about spiritual things.
Yeah.
She's thinking.
He's talking about water.
Carnal things.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about the water in the well.
That's right.
What are you talking about? What is this springs of living water that are going to well up from where?
Yeah.
You know, you don't even have a bucket, she says.
Yeah, exactly.
And the cistern's deep. Where are you going to get this water from?
That's right.
So she doesn't understand who is talking to her and what he's talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's kind of neat too. Like you say, it's noon and it's hot and they've been walking.
Yeah.
I mean, by this time, they've been walking for a while.
Right.
A few hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe they started at 7, maybe they started at 8.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they started at 9, they've been walking a few hours in this heat.
Right.
And here you really see the humanity of Jesus. You know, he was tired.
He was thirsty.
Weary. He was thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
He was hungry. He sent the guys to find some food.
Did they go to Reuben's Deli?
They did. But because they went to a deli, because it was noon, there was a big line at the deli.
Oh, geez.
So
they were late getting back.
They were waiting in line and they had a list of what everybody wanted. And so Peter, you know, he gets impatient and says, come on, we got to get going here, you guys.
Let's hurry up to the front of the line.
Yeah, because we're the apostles. You know, maybe you didn't recognize us. But, and, you know, that gave Jesus time to encounter this woman. Because if these bumblers would have been there too, who knows what would have happened? Mm-hmm. They would have probably shooed her away. But what's really cool is he sits down at this well. He says he sat there. You know, this was a hole mm-hmm. with a stone thing around it.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't have been that comfortable.
No.
It wasn't like they had cushioned park benches where he could just sit in the shade and kind of hang out for a while. He's sitting there just to encounter this woman. And he starts the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He does the lead-in. And he not only approaches her where she is, but he approaches her because he has a need of something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure he was thirsty, but whether he really was thirsty enough to say, hey, give me some water, or whether he just used that as a thing, I say he used that as kind of an approach.
Right.
Says, you know, he becomes kind of a beggar. Give me some water. You know, it's really hot out here and I'm really tired. I need some water. So she starts with this kind of snotty exchange. Well, wait a minute. You know, you're a Jew and you're a man. Why are you talking to me?
Right.
You know, we got nothing to do with you people. Mm-hmm. You don't like us. We don't like you. You notice she's not shy.
Right.
I mean, women in these days were second class citizens,
mm-hmm.
but she's not shy at all.
Right.
She says, hey, you know what? Oh, what are you asking me for?
Yeah.
You don't even have a bucket. How are you going to get the thing? You think you're greater than Jacob?
Yeah. I was just looking at that. Are you greater than our father Jacob?
Yeah. She's not shy about this at all. But he ignores that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't engage her in an argument.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, well, listen, as a matter of fact, I am greater than your father Jacob, but I'll tell you more about that later. So just listen to me. You know, he lets that go by. He doesn't answer her hostility. He doesn't answer her snottiness, because this is a time of grace for this lady.
Mm-hmm.
This is a time of visitation.
And you know, Jesus meets her right where she's at.
Yeah.
As you were pointing out, she's coming to the well. She's coming there to draw water. And Jesus meets her right in that moment of, can you give me a drink?
Yep.
Just like he meets any one of us.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't come to us in this lofty stature
or,
you know, trying to tell us all the wrong stuff we've done.
Yeah.
He meets us right where we're at in that moment.
Yeah.
In our need.
Yeah. And she's doing her usual day-to-day work. Come to get some water. I mean, this bucket of water is going to last her the whole day. She's got to wash with it, cook with it, whatever. Then the next day she's got to come back and get another bucket.
Right.
And, you know, she's doing her natural thing, her usual work. This is a time of grace and visitation, as I said, for her. He's the gift of God. He's a free gift who's there waiting for her when she comes. And it's like that, like you just say, for all of us. You know, sometimes we go someplace, we see a gift from God, we don't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we go somewhere, we actually see Jesus in some way, we don't recognize him.
Right.
Because we're going about our normal work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might not recognize who he is, what he's doing, who he is. You might see it through another person.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a person there who's going to tell you about Jesus, but you just go, hey, you know, I got to go to work.
Yeah.
And you just run by him, and I don't want to be bothered talking to you. I don't have time for that now. So he teaches a single person while this person's going about his work, her work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, he doesn't say, listen, I'm going to teach you something really important, but I'm not going to just tell you. So why don't you go back to the town and bring a couple of hundred people over? Because I only want to say this once. I don't want to keep repeating it. And, you know, my guys aren't going to write it down because they're over at the deli. So why don't you go get some people and come back? No, he says this to a single person.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the water, you know, he makes it clear to her that you have to ask for the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you ask, you're going to get living water.
Right.
It's not just going to come if you don't want it.
Right.
I mean, if you don't want the living water, you're not going to get it. It's not going to be given to you forcefully.
Right.
But you ask, you're going to get living water.
Yeah. And like you're pointing out, he says, when he answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you, he's saying, you would have asked me and I would have given you living waters.
Yeah, exactly.
So this has to get this woman's mind thinking, what is he talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why she answers him, sir, you don't even have a bucket and the cistern's deep. Where can you get this living water? Now she's questioning. She's drawn into the conversation.
Right. But she's still talking about real water.
Real water.
Because she's thirsty, tired, sweaty. She wants the water. It's a break already. This is a cool song.
Yeah.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. You can hear all the radio shows there and a lot of other stuff. We'll be back in a minute.
Wisdom, honor, and the power of men. The Spirit and the bride say, come, come to the Lamb. The living water and the risen sun. Who was and is to come, let every tribe. God Almighty, you are holy. The God Almighty, you are holy. Who was and is to come. Let every tribe and every tongue lift up your voice and praise the Holy One. Who was and is to come. Let every tribe and every tongue lift up your voice and praise the Holy.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220. The Word.
Well, welcome back to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. So here we are at the well, you know. So he goes from saying, give me some water, to talking about spiritual water. Mm-hmm. He goes from talking about literal water. She's thinking literal water. It's hot. I need the water. I have to come here at noon because I'm outcast in the village. I come here when nobody else is going to be here. So if I come here at 7 a.m., all the other women are gossiping about me, mm-hmm. and all the other men are gossiping about me, and, you know, I'm a social outcast, so I got to go when there's nobody there, you know, and she encounters this Jewish guy.
talking to her about water.
Talking about water. So, you know, it's so interesting because he takes her away then from the literal water and goes into a spiritual talk. Mm-hmm. Says, well, I have living water I can give you. I mean, you can give me water out of this well, but I've got living water I can give you. But the way he says it is, if you drink this water, you'll never be thirsty again. In other words, instead of temporarily feeling better, this is going to be eternally feeling better. All your needs are going to be met. It's a fountain of living water, he says. It's not a bucket full of living water. It's a fountain. So it's flowing water. It's not just water that's at the bottom of a well. It, you know, in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about how the water or the river goes out of the temple and into the wilderness, and right. everything grows.
Right.
You know, it's a fountain of living water. So she's still thinking, great, give me this water. So I don't have to keep coming to the well. If you're going to give me some water and I'm not ever going to be thirsty again, I won't have to come here anymore. Water's really important to us because we live in a desert. And it's really a lot of work to keep a supply of water up. And if you can give me water so I never get thirsty again, I don't have to come over here and listen to people gossip about me and criticize me. So let's have some.
Exactly. You know, yeah.
She doesn't understand, of course, what he's talking about, because he's now gone from a common subject to a profound spiritual subject. He's presenting it in a way that she's going to understand it. She's still taking everything literally.
Exactly. Yeah. And as you said, Jesus is drawing her into this gift of living water. He's really drawing her into understanding. Mm-hmm. She's talking to the one who's going to be her salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says to her, go call your husband and come back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A very pivotal question.
Yeah. He confronts her with her sin.
Mm-hmm. He's telling her about the living water. If you ask me, I would give you living waters.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to get this from?
You don't even have a bucket.
Yeah, you don't even have a bucket. And then she's asking for it. Sir, give me this water so that I might not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. I would really like not to confront all these people and come here and be ridiculed or put down.
Yeah.
And I don't have to come here in the heat of the day anymore.
Yeah.
Give me the water. Okay. Go call your husband and come back.
Yeah.
And the woman answered and says, I don't have a husband. Now the conversation gets really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because she's confronted, as you said, with where she's at in her life, and she is caught in sin.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus answers her and says, you are right in saying, I do not have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. Now, you're meeting this Jewish guy at the well. You thought you were going to be there alone getting water. You've been there every day, like for a long time, just getting water by yourself. Mm-hmm. And now here's this guy, and now he's asking about water. And now he's telling you, well, you've had five husbands, and the one that you're with now isn't your husband.
Yeah.
Now he's really got her attention.
Oh, yeah. And she doesn't deny any of this.
No.
Because, you know, when you come to him, you're also, now, along with the joy of the living water and all the things we talked about, you're also confronted by your sin. Because then you realize where mm-hmm. you stand.
Right.
And he doesn't do it in a condemning way. He does it kind of in a matter-of-fact way.
Mm-hmm.
But effectively, well, why don't you go get your husband and we'll talk about this. Right. You know?
Because in the culture of that time, husband should be there if he's going to talk with her.
Of course.
Yeah. And that's something that, as we study the Old Testament, that you learn that in Jewish culture, you know, if the husband was not there,
mm-hmm.
a man would not talk to another would not talk to another married woman at all.
No.
You know, and the woman wouldn't just carry on a conversation with another man.
That's right.
At all.
Certainly not someone she didn't even know.
Right. So it's important that we understand that, you know, as we're looking at this reading. And so in the context of, I'll read a little bit further here. So Jesus answers her and says, "You are right in saying, I do not have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband."
Mm-hmm.
And the woman says to him, "What you have said is true. Sir, I can see that you are a prophet."
Yeah.
He's gone from this guy that's sitting there bothering her, asking her about water,
mm-hmm.
asking for a drink, to, "You're a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know that I've had five husbands?"
Mm-hmm.
He didn't.
No.
He didn't know her.
And she doesn't say, "I think you got your information wrong." She doesn't deny it.
Right. She doesn't. And think about it. She could have denied everything because she didn't know Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus. And she could have said, "You don't know me. You don't know anything."
Yeah.
She could have denied it. And she didn't.
Right.
So there's a tremendous lesson for us here,
mm-hmm.
that when the Lord comes to us in a moment of grace,
mm-hmm.
if we're not honest,
mm-hmm.
and we don't just give it up, you know, like, okay, Lord, this is what I've been doing. Yeah,
exactly.
That grace will pass us.
Exactly.
And so the woman responds to this time of grace and says, "What you have said is true. I can see you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you people," now here she goes again. But you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. But Jesus says to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we do understand, because salvation is from the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him.
Mm.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Yeah. And the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you."
Mm.
Wow.
Wow. Look how far they came.
Yeah.
You know, this encountering, you know, when he doesn't give her a forceful rebuke, you know, he says about the husbands, and the guy you're living with now is not your husband. He kind of leaves this to her conscience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said, she doesn't deny it.
Right.
And, you know, the approach is now she's starting to get aware of what her situation is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you come to Christ, you have to be aware of what your situation is.
Right.
So you're suddenly confronted by how you stand, what your real situation is. And in other words, you can't be healed until you understand that you're sick.
Exactly.
And if you're going through life as a totally arrogant, unrepentant sinner, and you don't think that you have a sickness, and then you encounter him, you realize, oh, you know, all the stuff I've been doing has been horrible. All that stuff I did, it was all horrible. Now you understand that you need to be healed. Now you understand that you need the living water poured over you.
Right.
And, you know, even in so many places in the Old Testament, it talked about getting water from the wells of salvation and the springs of salvation. And, you know, thirsty soul. And now she sees that the living water is hidden within him, because he says, you know, you're waiting for the Christ, which is, we use the Greek word, the Christ, the Messiah. You're waiting for the Christ. I am he who's talking to you. I'm the one who can give you the living water. And it's, she suddenly says, sir, you know, now all of a sudden she shows him respect. She's not snotty anymore. She says, sir, I can see that you're a prophet. Mm-hmm. Now, he just said he was the Messiah, but, you know, a prophet was a great title. I mean, the prophets were revered by everybody in the area. So, mm-hmm. you know, she's treating him with respect now, because now he knows about her. He's got information about her that he couldn't possibly know.
Right.
No Jewish man walking from Jerusalem to Galilee would know she had five husbands.
Right. Right. She's treating him with a little bit more respect. You know, when you address somebody and say, you know, you people.
That's right. That's a good one too. Yeah.
You know, and, but Jesus responds right back to her.
Yeah.
But you people say.
Yeah.
You know, so he's talking to her where she's at.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He's meeting her.
Yeah.
Right where she's at.
Yeah. Now she wants to know more.
Yeah.
I mean, she's still a little bit snotty. You people. Because, you know.
You this, people.
The divisions are very hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
I mean, very hard to get rid of.
And they've only been talking for a few minutes.
Yeah. I mean, that's right. I mean, the guys are still at the deli. I mean, they haven't
been waiting in line. Maybe their prepaid Visa card won't go through this.
Anyway, they were waiting to get those frequent user things stamped. And,
we've never been
to this deli before, because we don't generally go to Samaria.
Yeah, take all their information and put it in the computer,
Exactly. So she still does the you people thing.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden we go from, hey, why are you even talking to me? Hey, how are you going to get water? I can't give you a drink. How could you possibly have living water? Give me the water. Well, you know what? Go get your husband, and you've had five husbands, and now you're living with another guy. Now she wants to know about spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
Now she asks questions about worship.
Yeah.
You know, 15 minutes ago, all she wanted to do was get a bucket of water.
Right.
And go home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hot heat of the day. So now she wants to know, what's the difference between us? You know, you guys think you can only worship in Jerusalem. Now, you notice Jesus says we. He identifies himself with the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He says we know what we worship.
Yeah.
Because they knew what they worshiped.
Right.
The Jews knew who they worshiped and what they were doing.
Right.
And so he identifies with them. And the Samaritans used only the books of Moses. They worshiped God, but they also were influenced by all this pagan stuff. So they thought, well, you know, there's other gods in other places. This God happens to be our God here. And Jesus says, no, see, you guys, you don't understand anything, because that pagan influence is gone, is not for you. It's not, we don't have that like you do. And plus in the Torah, it says that God will put his name, his glory in one place. That's why the temple was in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Because through the Torah, God points out to Moses when they're in the wilderness, I'm going to put my name somewhere, and that's where you're going to worship. And this was why David and Solomon built the temple. Solomon built the temple. David had gotten it ready. Built the temple where they did, because this was where God said he's going to put his name.
Mm-hmm.
So salvation came from here.
Right.
Not from some God that the Lebanese had and some God that the Egyptians had, because the God of the universe is not a local deity.
Right.
It's a universal deity. The plan of salvation, Jesus points out, is from the Jews. Salvation is from the Jews. He says it very clearly. Because the plan of salvation came through the scriptures because of the Jews, or I should say through the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And it was initiated through the Jews. And now salvation is personally before her.
Yeah.
Having this amazing conversation.
In the fulfillment of the person Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he gives her this mountain of truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, think about this. She's saying, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us everything.
Yeah.
And he told her things about her that nobody mm-hmm. else would know.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're there talking to this person, and he says, I am He, the one speaking with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta be like, wow, okay, this is the time. But then at that moment, the disciples return and they're amazed that he's talking with this woman. But no one asks anything. No one asks and says, you know, what are you looking for? Why are you talking with her?
Yeah.
And so an interesting thing happens. It says, scripture tells, the woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ? They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we'll stop there.
And they said, but we got a bag full of sandwiches.
We got some Reubens. We just went to the deli.
We just paid for all this stuff.
Aren't you going to have some of this? No. So the disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? So
I love those guys.
I know. There's not another deli for miles. How would he have gotten something to eat here? What is going on? But now the interesting thing about the woman is she came there with a water jar to draw water.
Mm-hmm.
She tells Jesus, you don't even have a bucket. Come on. How are you going to get water out of this well? You're not fooling me. And after this encounter, she leaves her water jar.
Yeah, I like that.
And goes off into the town. Totally didn't even think about getting physical water anymore.
That's right. Forgot about the water.
Forgot about the jar. She's off to the townspeople.
Because now she encountered him.
And everything changed.
Yeah, exactly.
And now she's saying, come and see a man who told me everything that I have done.
Yeah.
Could he possibly be the Christ?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're in a desert. You're thirsty. You came to the well for water. And after about 10 minutes, you leave your water jar.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're not thinking about the water anymore.
Exactly.
You're not thinking about your thirst because you encountered Christ.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And if you put it in, you know, 2014 terms, it would be like somebody who's totally stressed out about their business and, oh, you know, sales are down over here and this is down over here and I got to get these numbers crunched out and I got to go get this stuff, to finally encountering the Messiah and saying, well, that's my job and I still have to do it. But boy, compared to encountering the Messiah, I just like forgot about all these numbers I was crunching.
Mm-hmm.
She forgot her bucket.
And it's such an incredible encounter. You know, I know you've told me the one story about the gentleman who were the Holy Spirit revealed to him in the supermarket,
yeah,
that Jesus was the Messiah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he ran home,
yeah, yeah,
which was, what,
yeah,
like 4 blocks away or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah. Forgot his car.
And left his car, in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's one of the best testimonies I heard. I love that story. And then his wife said, well, that's great, but where's the car?
But, you know, it's a great testimony because it shows that even today,
yeah,
in our modern world where we think we're all sophisticated,
yeah,
that when you encounter the risen Lord, you're going to leave,
yeah,
whatever you had.
Exactly.
And you're going to forget about stuff,
yeah,
and just go,
yeah,
Jesus is the Messiah. I know we're salvation. I know he's my salvation.
Yeah, exactly.
And you want to tell people about it because it wells up in you.
Yeah.
It's a spring of living water that,
yeah,
that just comes bursting forth out of you.
Yeah. And look to what he tells her. You know what we worship. We worship in Jerusalem, and that's right. But now the time is coming where things are going to change, because now he's bringing a new covenant. Things are going to change. You don't have to be just at the temple to worship. You're going to worship in spirit and in truth. You can be in Independence, Ohio, worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. You can be in Youngstown, worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. You can be in Peru doing it. You're going to be able to do it everywhere because now a new dispensation is coming where you're going to be able to worship in spirit and in truth, and mm-hmm, things are going to be changed. Things,
right,
are going to be different. The externals of the worship are also going to be different.
Exactly.
Oh, this is great.
Exactly.
Whew.
Ooh.
I was just on a roll. Anyway. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Like incense as we magnify the sun. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so. Together we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. For clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua, come. All creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That is an awesome song.
That's awesome. Oh, I love that song.
Who sings that?
That's Paul Wilbur.
Remember,
go to wilburministries.com and buy a couple of CDs, and then you'll go on after you listen to him, buy a couple of more CDs. Yeah.
Tell him Phil sent you.
That's right. Yeah, you can go down to Jacksonville to his headquarters and say, Phil told me I could stop here and pick up a couple of CDs. And he'll say, yeah, but you have to pay for them. Anyway, so now, you know, during this conversation now that they're talking about worship, and Jesus talks about how you're going to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because the old system of worship is going to pass away. You know, God's not going to be confined on one mount in Jerusalem where the temple was. The rites that they use, if you want to use a, you know, more theological term, R-I-T-E, is going to be different now. And he said the time is coming and it's now, which means then, you know, the covenant is about to change. You're going to relate to God on a different level now. See, you guys are worshiping on Mount Gerizim and you don't understand that. That's fine. We, the Jews, are worshiping in Israel, where we're supposed, in Jerusalem, where we're supposed to be worshiping, and that's awesome. But pretty soon, you're going to be able to worship wherever you want, because things are going to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And just because the patriarchs worshiped here doesn't mean you're going to be doing this. just because you guys use only these books and we have all these other books, okay, that's important. But from now on, you're going to be worshiping in spirit and in truth. And that's going to be how this plan of salvation comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is how Messiah is going to be revealed to you. And it's not going to be just a matter of, oh, this guy must be the Messiah because he knows what I did. It's going to be, everything is going to change because of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And so now our friends come back from the deli and they've got food.
They got food.
And they say, oh, why is he talking to that woman? You know, Samaritan woman. And, but they were like afraid to ask him, why was he talking to this woman? And, you know, the Pharisees would have been horrified. I mean, imagine this is the one place, this is the only place like Jesus doesn't encounter any Pharisees because they wouldn't go to Samaria.
Yeah.
But if they'd have seen him in Samaria talking to a woman, that would have been too much for them. They'd have all stroked out. I mean, that would have been just
that would have been it. Yeah.
I mean, they were mad enough when he ate with sinners in Jerusalem, let alone talk to a Samaritan woman. But anyway, the cool thing now is the woman now has her, what we'd call, conversion experience.
Right.
Now it all comes together in her mind. Wow, this guy is here. He's the Christ. He's telling me about things. He just encountered me where I live at my level. I just understand what he's telling me. So now I'm going to run back in the town because I can't wait to tell everybody there about this.
Mm-hmm.
And she becomes one of the early evangelists.
Exactly.
Without her bucket.
Without her bucket or a jar, yeah. And, you know, we'll read some more of this from the Gospel of John. You know, it says, let's see. The disciples return, and she leaves her jar, and she goes into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything that I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ? And I'm going to skip over the encounter with his disciples where they're saying, could someone have brought him something to eat? but Jesus responds to them and says, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work. Now many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, we no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world.
Wow, is that awesome?
So she goes and testifies, gives witness, and now they encounter Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're no longer believing because of her word, but now they're believing because of their encounter with Christ.
Yeah, right.
And that's what evangelization
that's
is
right.
all about.
That's right. Exactly
because
right.
If I'm telling someone, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you how what happened when I encountered him.
Uh-huh. It's very powerful.
It's very powerful. Now, that person may start to seek him, and mm-hmm. and they'll find him.
That's right.
And then they're going to have an encounter with Christ.
That's right.
Because he wants to give them the same living waters that he gave me, that he gave you, and that he gave this woman at the well.
Right. That's much more powerful than, let me tell you some theological doctrines and see if you can deduce what this is about.
Yeah.
Those are important, but in a different
They're
setting.
Right. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And this is evangelism. She went from, go get, you know, Jesus saying, go get your husband, to telling everybody.
Yeah.
She could have just run home, told her husband.
Right.
Well, her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who she was living with. She could have gone and said, hey, come and meet this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But she tells everybody in the town.
Right.
And because of her, she was so impacted by this that because of her, they go out to see this. She doesn't tell them what they talked about.
Mm-hmm.
She says, you know, he told me everything I'd done. They didn't talk about the theological points of Jerusalem, Mount Gerizim, all their stuff.
Right.
But come and see him because you're going to be blown away. She invites
right.
them to come.
Exactly.
Invites them to see him. And when they come there, you know, they see and they want to talk to him. And I think it's really cool that they say, well, you know, we believed because she told us, but now that we're talking to you, whoa, now we really believe.
Right.
I mean, it sounds like most of the people in this town became believers.
Yeah, it sounds like
right
it.
There on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So this evangelist, this woman who, you know, was not a very, you know, you wouldn't predict her to be an evangelist. She's had five husbands. She's living with some guy. She's grumbling about getting water.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 20 minutes later, she's got all the people in the town going out to see Jesus.
What an afternoon.
Yeah, what an afternoon. And her life was, I'm sure, never the same after that.
And what does Scripture tell us? Now, in this case, there's some details about what happened.
Yeah.
But if you go back to when we first read, it was about 12 noon.
Yeah.
They put that in there. It was about 12 o'clock noon.
Wow.
Because that's when she encountered the Lord.
And Jesus even tells them about the harvest of souls.
Yeah.
Because this is what it's all about.
Exactly. This is what it's all about. And it's still about this.
Yeah,
it's exactly. still about this.
Woo.
Wow.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we would just pray that your encounter with the Lord would be just like the woman at the well, where you would go out and proclaim the great deeds that God has done for you. And that you would bring a harvest into the kingdom. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Isaac and Abraham, an altar without a lamb, a covenant ring, a hand raised in faith.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.